Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today, oh my goodness, this is all about food power. Who doesn't like good food? I'm one. I love to cook. I love being in the kitchen. And my guest today, Leo Pearlstein, has been on my show, oh my goodness, for so many years, around this time of the year because it's the beginning of the holiday season. And oh my goodness, we all are going to be entertaining on one level or another. We all want to be able to, on those special feast days like Thanksgiving and Christmas, we want to be able to enjoy the fellowship that we have with the people that we love. And good food is the center of that. For as far back as I can remember, that has been a very important part of my life. I know it's been an important part of Leo's life, because of the work that he's done and what he's been committed to in the area of the food industry. I want to welcome Leo Pearlstein to my show. Hi, Leo.
Hi, it's good to be with you.
Well, Leo, every year we chat about food, and you have absolutely a passion for the industry. You've been involved with it for so many years. You've represented many different food companies through the years, and you have in the past couple of years, actually the past 3 or 4 years, you've really gotten into working with various individuals in their kitchens, you know, these professional chefs that work with food. And modalities have changed with the dietary patternings of a lot of people. And you've done a lot of research on this, haven't you?
Yes, we have. You know, we started our company years ago, and we made a separate division called Western Research Kitchens. And up till just a few years ago, we had a kitchen on our premises. But when we had to move, we went into a large building, there were too many complications. So I had 2 home economists that actually were quite close to us, and they were working at home. They'd bring their stuff over to us, or we'd go over to them. But we actually had a kitchen in our premises for a long time. So as times changed, actually, I had 2 home economists that are consultants, and a dietitian, and a couple of chefs. So they're our source of information. And you always get new ideas, and you get traditional ideas. And the best thing in the world is when you're doing anything, any type of education or business, it's always good to have a perspective from other people. You get 2 or 3 people together, and you start brainstorming. Before you know it, you're getting a lot of information.
Now, Leo, in the arena of food, when you think of you, when you first started working and with these different industries and started becoming aware of different aspects with food, it was a much different world than it is today. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen with the way people do holidays today compared to what it was years ago?
I think the biggest thing is everything is expected to be done very quickly. Years ago, on almost everything we did, we had more time. It just seems that with all the pressures of society, all the things that are going on, and the website and the computers and the entertainment and pressure, economic pressure, people have less time than they used to have. And so you have to do what you want to more quickly. And there are a lot of more convenient items that have sort of, because of the women in the workplace and the men in the workplace, so more and more and more, the markets have tried to sort of substitute some of the work that we would have done at home. Well, that's okay. That's okay. But we feel emotionally, psychologically, when you're doing something, even if you bought things in the market that have done half of it, you feel better when you're doing something at home or extending what you bought in the market. And shopping-wise, there's so much, we're exposed to so many items that you have to make decisions both from an economic point of view and from just a health point of view because more and more we're conscious of good foods and healthy foods and so on. For example, the last couple of years, we were looking at items, you know, the doctors say, cut down your cholesterol, watch out for your fats, watch out for sugar. So we've taught people, everyone we deal with, to read the labels. Read the labels and see what you're getting. I had an associate that I worked with when we had the egg account, and he said, if you can't pronounce the items on the label, don't buy it.
Very true. Now, Leo, with this, I know that traditionally, that, as you said, this is something that women would be very much involved in the kitchen. And because of the role of women today and not having so much time, there's been a real concern, I know, on the part of many individuals about trying to deal with fresher items rather than, let's say, packaged items. And like you just mentioned, if it's got stuff on the label that you can't pronounce, is this really what you want to take in and eat? And I don't know about anybody else listening, but when I am preparing for the holidays, sometimes it will take me with my schedule up to a week to prepare everything in a systematic way so that when the time comes for the quote-unquote big dinner, then I'm able to work in a very organized way. And this is my system that I've developed.
Well, you're doing the professional thing. In fact, the chefs, all the academic chefs, the real responsible, educated chefs that got their original training from Europe, use the word called mise en place, French word, mise en place, which means everything in place. And not only do they make notes and write down what they're going to do, even for one meal, they make notes, and then they, if it's a big place, they have a sous chef, they prepare all the little things that you have to cut and chop and squeeze and do things. And as you see, if you watch the Food Network, they have little cups, a cup of this, a cup of this, a cup of this, which they've done ahead of time. So you don't do it as you're going along. And the easiest thing for a homemaker today that we recommend is, a week or two, the day after Halloween, which is right now, that's when you start thinking about Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the candy goes down and the Thanksgiving things go up in the market. So what you do, first of all, you're going to say, you know, are we going to have a big group or a little group, just our family or cousins or relatives? So you plan early how many people you're going to have. Then you plan, as far as economics go, what can you afford? You know, how far can you go? And you actually say, well, I'm going to have turkey or chicken or lamb or beef or fish. But anyway, you plan, because then you can watch the specials in the market, and you can buy it when the market has them on special. And most markets want to make money and sell you a lot of groceries, and practically all of them put turkey on special, actually below cost. Because if you buy a turkey, you're going to buy a lot of other things to go with it. So that's another thing to plan. So anyway, you do your planning, you write everything down. Now, let's say it's a week before Thanksgiving or 10 days before Thanksgiving. The market has a big special. If you buy so much groceries, you get the turkey cheaper. Sometimes you even get it for nothing. So you do your shopping in two stages. You do your shopping on the stuff that you can do ahead of time, and then on your list, the last minute, you've got some time before Thanksgiving. Now, here's a very simple idea. This year, we're sort of concentrating more on the handy hints than on the recipes, because it's the handy hints that we remind the old-timers and we educate the new-timers. For example, 99% of the turkeys are frozen. So you buy a frozen turkey. It's big. It's intimidating. You take it home. You put it in the freezer. And you plan that 3 days before Thanksgiving, you take it out of the freezer and put it in the refrigerator. Scientifically, they discovered that in the refrigerator, it defrosts 5 pounds per day. So you've got an average 15-pound turkey. You're going to take 3 days or 4 days. That's fine. That's what refrigeration is for. Leave it in the bag. Put it in the refrigerator. Now, don't put it on the counter. Don't put it in the garage. and stay away from things that would make bacteria. So that's safety with the turkey. Now, another thing, it's so tiny, but you've got to think about it. The turkey processors have done a good job now. They have directions on the chart giving you approximate times. So when you open up the turkey bag, it's got some blood that's dripped on it. Don't throw it away. Rinse it out and take a pair of scissors and cut out the chart that tells you approximately, based on how many pounds, when it might be done. Mm-hmm. So that gives you a feeling of not to worry, but open the oven every time, every 10 minutes. Now, I like to use, because I was connected with it many, many years ago, I look for a turkey that has a pop-up turkey timer. That's great, because it's been planned for years and years and years, and it's been measured so that when a little stem pops out, the turkey's done to perfection. Now, there are a lot of little things that we don't think of. Can you imagine? A lot of people forget to take the giblets out.
No, that is beyond me.
It's just kind of messy. And they forget that there are two cavities. There's a neck cavity and the big cavity, and the liver's in a little bag now in the back, and the neck is in the front. So take it out, rinse the turkey, pat it dry. Another handy hint. It's so simple. Why didn't we think of it? A lot of people season the turkey on the top. They sprinkle seasoning on the top. Well, what you're doing is you're seasoning the skin. Now, people like skin, but you really want to season the meat of the turkey. So you take your seasoning, your favorite seasoning. We recommend at least using a poultry seasoning for turkey. You shake it into the cavity, just a couple of good shakes. Now, if you really want to please your guests and give them a feeling, turkeys are bland. On the top of the breast, there's a piece of skin that separates the breast from the top of the skin, and it's usually open, and if it isn't, take a little paring knife, cut it open or a pair of scissors, and you discover that you've got a pocket between the breast and the skin. You take your hands, obviously you've washed your hands, and you push it in above the breast. You keep pushing, 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 and now you've made a big pocket. Now here's what you do. You take a little saucer, and you take some Bertolli extra light olive oil. Olive oil is great. Olive oil is the hottest, greatest spread now with the new pyramid diet. It's healthy for you. It's tasty. So you take the Bertolli olive oil, take several tablespoons of it, put it in a little saucer, and then take your favorite herb. It could be chives, could be thyme, oregano. Just mince it up real quickly. Put it in the olive oil. Shake a few shakes of your seasoning in. And then take an orange and make several thin slices of the orange. Just slice right down. You take the orange slices and you dip them into the mixture that you just made. It takes just as long to do it as I'm telling you to do it. You put the orange slice in, mix it around, and then push the orange slice into your pocket that you just made. Depending on how big the turkey is and how big the pocket, you may have two or three or four slices of orange. Now, that orange is resting on top of the skin, and it's going to give you a nice flavor. If you want to zip it up a little bit, you take a teaspoon of Morehouse yellow mustard, and mustard is hot now, too, hot in taste and hot, and you put the mustard in the mixture. So you've got the orange, you've got the olive oil, you've got the herbs, and you've got the mustard. You're giving a nice flavor to the top of the breast.
That's okay. Amazing, Leo, just to be able to put the, and I have used butter. I know you mentioned olive oil, but I have had room temperature butter where I have mixed herbs with it and put it underneath the skin, like you've said, and depending on preferences. Yeah, it is really, really good, and it does help to keep the white meat moisture because
it
dries out.
When it comes to basting the turkey, you actually have a choice of butter, margarine, oil. We use the olive oil, again, because we're on a health kick. We like the taste, and also if you take that Bertolli olive oil and you baste the entire turkey, a good basting, it's going to give you a golden brown turkey. And as I say, you've got a healthy, you've added some health to the turkey. You know, some people forget to preheat the oven. You got to preheat the oven. You just don't put it in cold. Put the oven on, preheat it to 325, and then put the turkey in. Now, once you've done that, you're finished. Now, Here's another handy hint, talking about putting the turkey in the oven. You're going to look at the chart. The chart will say, oh, this turkey's going to be done in 3.5 hours or something, or three, you know, whatever it is. Now, we like to serve hot rolls. So what you do is you get the frozen rolls, the Rhodes frozen rolls. They come in a big bag. You have them in the freezer. You take them out in the morning. They look like little golf balls. You take them out. You put them on a cookie sheet or in a muffin tin because it's going to take about 4 to 5 hours for the rolls to rise. So you're not doing anything. They're already baked for you. Good old-fashioned grandma's recipe, no preservatives, and you're going to have some delicious home-baked rolls, which you haven't really done any work on. The reason I'm telling it to you now is you're doing all sorts of cooking while the rolls are rising. Now, when the turkey is done, you take it out. You can't carve it right away. You've got to let the turkey rest at least 20 minutes. Now, while the turkey's resting, and when you start carving, you have an empty oven. You take those rolls that have risen, and you put them in the oven. You continue carving the turkey, and guess what? You finish. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes for the rolls to be baked. By that time, you've sliced your turkey, you've put it on a platter, and the rolls come out, and there's nothing better to bring everything to the table at the same time. And just like a fancy restaurant where they bring a little basket with a napkin in it and they cover the rolls, you take these delicious hot Rhodes rolls and take them to the buffet table or to the table at the same time you're taking the turkey. So that these are little hints that make your life easier, stressless, and you know you feel good that you're going to give your guests a good, tasty turkey. Now, turkey is part of the deal. Most everybody makes dressing. 50% of the people stuff the turkey. 50% of the people make casseroles. And many people do both. They put grandma's recipe in the turkey, and they put a contemporary recipe in the casserole. It isn't the stuffing so much. It's what you put in it. Where you come from. In the Northwest, you may want to put oysters on the Pacific Northwest. In the East Coast, you put cranberries. In the Southeast, you put chestnuts. In the Southwest, you put California fruits. So you've got your choice based on your upbringing and where you came from. So that's an easy thing. And one thing, too, while I'm thinking about it, as you know, there are a lot of things to put in it. You may have some vegetarians for dinner and health-conscious people. So be sure you make a stuffing that is vegetarian. Just don't put any meats in it. And if they're real vegetarians, vegans, instead of using the chicken broth, use apple juice. Now, it's very simple, easy to do, and you haven't done hardly any work. What we recommend is you want to surprise your guests, make a muffin tin and put the same mixture into the muffin tins, and you got stuffing muffins.
And
or
another
thing, if you
want
to show off a little bit and surprise them, buy some green bell peppers. Take the top off, slice it off evenly, scrape out the white pulp, it takes you a minute, put the same dressing mixture into the bell peppers, which are open, put it in the oven for 20 minutes, put the lid back on, and when you serve it, you put a bell pepper on everybody's plate. What's this for? Well, they take the top off, and they've got stuffing in it. Little tricks like that.
One of the things that I wanted to bring up, I know I was visiting with a friend last year, and she always has a huge group of people at her home, and she said that she had become frustrated with some of the, what you call the finicky eaters, and she said for her to do a full turkey, she was just disappointed that there was a lot of waste anymore. She doesn't fix the soups afterwards, the leftover, and that type of thing. Which is what I know I typically do with any kind of leftovers. But she decided she would go with just the turkey breast. And she said that was the best decision that she had ever made. And one of the things that she did, she would marinate the turkey breast in a saline type of a solution. And she'd add herbs into it so that the turkey meat was especially moist.
Excuse me? That's great.
Oh, I think it's marvelous. And she said, Donna, I have absolutely had a lot of stress taken off of me. You know, just what you what you said earlier, Leo. We all have lifestyle changes, and we want to be able, and I know women especially, this is something that's a source of pride, I know, in the SIBO household, to be able to have, number one, a beautiful table that people sit down at, but number two, to have delicious food. It is a celebration of being grateful for what we have and to know that we're able to provide this and bring this abundance to those that we love means a great deal. And so for her, this one step really made a big difference and took a lot of stress off of her.
It's the most important family meal of the year, and it's a time when you probably see your cousins and relatives that you haven't seen in a while. It's a very happy, friendly time. And incidentally, for the just as your friend did the turkey breast, what we do is we know that some of our relatives have diabetes, some of them have a heart condition. We make little table tents. You know, you can buy a sugar-free pie. You can buy fat-free things.
Mm-hmm.
And as they said, make a vegetarian thing. So you take a table tent, fold it over, and it says fat-free, sugar-free. It just shows your guests that you're thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then desserts. You know, this is a 2,000-calorie meal. You're going to have a big, big, big meal. And we all look forward to it, and a lot of relatives bring pies and cakes and cookies, which is great. We all look forward to it. You think about some people that want to have a lighter dessert. We recommend watermelon. Watermelon's available the year round. It's so easy to cut and slice and cube, and it's cold and refreshing. After you've had this big, heavy meal, you've got all the desserts out there, and guess what? You have a plate of ice-cold, delicious watermelon. In fact, there's so few calories in watermelon, you can have the delicious watermelon and still have a bite of your fancy dessert. And I read, in fact, I was watching Dr. Oz on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Oz did a whole thing about the healthful qualities of watermelon. It's got more lycopene than any other fruit or vegetable, which they say is very good for you. They usually say tomatoes. Watermelon has more. It's got antioxidants and it's got vitamins. It's refreshing. So that's an extra little dessert. Again, to take care of your guests that want that. Here's an interesting thing that I ran across. I was watching a TV show, actually from one of the food people. There was a young lifestyle expert on there, and he actually did the same thing. Believe it or not, he did the watermelon, and he had sliced triangles. I guess it's easy to do. I never thought. He made triangles of watermelon, and he spread them out on a plate, and then he talked about the fact that the watermelon was healthy and sweet and no calories and things like that. It was very interesting. So he did a good demonstration on the watermelon as a dessert. And then, this is something I've been around, but I haven't heard about. Samuel Adams, the beer company,
mm-hmm.
has a pumpkin beer.
Pumpkin beer. Oh, my goodness. What else are they going to think of?
Look,
pumpkin.
I was amazed. What it is, they make the beer, and there's something like 25 or 30 pounds of pumpkin in each barrel, and they use the spices like you do when you make pumpkin pie, allspice and things like that. And so they make this pumpkin-flavored beer, which is really made from pumpkin, and they pair it. Like you pair wines. So they say you're pairing the pumpkin beer with the Thanksgiving dinner. I never heard about something like that.
Leo, this has been wonderful. You always have such interesting tips to share. We're talking turkey today with Leo Pearlstein. Leo, I know that there have been some changes. Do you have a website that people can go to find out more about these wonderful tips for the holiday?
This year, have made arrangements with the top website of the food business. It's called culinary.net.
Culinary.net.
It's a fantastic website. They've got all sorts of handy hints. They've got thoroughly tested recipes. They're connected with Family Features that does all of the photos and recipes for the home economists and for the food editors and for the magazine
mm-hmm.
editors.
Uh-huh.
Believe me, when we get stuck and we need something in a hurry, you can find, and not only that, it's categorized that you can almost ask the question and find out to click on. For example, you can click on for holiday recipes, or you can click on for anything specific. Try it out when you have some time. It's called culinary.net. We've used it all year long, and we think it's the best way of, and they're using our handy hints. They took it from my books, and we work together. So there's a lot of gourmet and simple and economical, and depending on your level of cooking, you can go almost any direction. So culinary.net is a great website.
Leo, thank you so much for being with me today. I do know that holidays at your house are always extremely productive and busy, and you have always had such wonderful tips and suggestions for my listeners, and I wish you the best of the holiday season, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with me again this year.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. It's really my pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to have more good things to share. Check out culinary.net. If you're a person that's a foodie like I am and you like to try out new things, why not explore this wonderful website and Leo's information, their handy hints that they put online. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, and I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number you can call into, and all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is significant to you. Tomorrow, what happens when we die? Well, Echo Bodine has had a number of experiences, and her stories I think you'll find fascinating. If you're an inventor, if you're someone that has wanted to explore getting a patent, we're going to be talking with a man that's not only walked the walk, but boy, does he have some insights on how to deal with the patent process. Leon Cooper is going to be my guest. Healing with the arts. Healing can be done in a phenomenal way. And I will tell you, I just happened to see a program about a phenomenal Mexican artist who has passed away. She's been gone for a number of years. But she herself used healing as an art. And we're going to be talking about that with Mary Rockwood Lane. And then we are going to have S. Jan. We're going to be talking about Malignant, how cancer becomes us. Now, you could read that many different ways. This is a woman that's a researcher, and she has information on why we have not been able to find, supposedly, the cure. All that and much more is coming up on the Donna Sebo Show. You're welcome to check on site here for those points of information regarding upcoming guests. And be sure to tell your friends about the show, too, because we always like to have you join us
at the Donna Sebo broadcast table. I wanted to share something with you that Sidney Poitier shared. He is an actor I have a great deal of respect for. I think he is a man who has such depth to the acting persona that he gives out. And he was asked about A Key to Life, and he used the word character. And this is what he said. I've come to understand the purest, deepest meaning of character. In those human beings I know, character is more than a word. It is more than an element independently floating high above us, waiting for someone or something to elevate itself within the range of its touch. In those people I know, character is not a condition called an existence by words imaginatively arranged. It is not a compliment, nor a distraction ceremoniously bestowed by the state. In those people I know, it's an accompaniment. It never comes out of thin air. It always travels in close company with other forces. It is almost always found side by side with integrity or shoulder to shoulder with decency. Step by step, it moves alongside fidelity, honesty, selflessness, and compassion. It is always there to heal when dignity is stripped from human life and trampled on with calculated disregard. Character, like hopes, dreams, and expectations, is a driving force in human beings that prepares the way for the emergence of the best of all there is inside of us. Character. His definition of same, Sidney Poitier, gave those words. And I think that that makes all the difference in the world and life. The companions he mentioned, integrity, decency, fidelity, honesty, selflessness, compassion. All of those words are powerful words. And when we integrate those within us, when we take a positioning of that, it makes us so strong as individuals. And collectively, when people come together with those qualities, you can't beat them. I've got a number of guests that are going to be coming up on the show who have lived through experiences of life, and those very words had an influence on them in such a way that they walked the walk. And that meant that they were an example for everyone around them. Do you know of anybody that encompasses those qualities that you say, I admire them, I respect them? Sometimes you may not even like them, but if you respect them because of who they are, what they are, how they live their lives, it has an impact on you, doesn't it? It really can make a difference. And can you imagine the impact on children when the adults around them display those kind of qualities? It makes a difference in how they think and in what they do and how they mature. When we lose those components, when we toss them aside, saying, oh, who cares? Then we meander along in life, wailing and moaning and crying so many times about how unfair life is to us. Those standards of character never, ever are old-fashioned. Those standards of character always represent the finest and the best. And they bring a quality to the human experience that I don't think any of us really, down deep, want to give up. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. Oh, I've got to share this story with you. G.H. Lewis, he was a very, very good friend of George Eliot. And he related a story about Charles Dickens. Oh, yes, we've all heard of good old Charles. Now, Dickens was a man that was just an incredible writer, absolutely incredible writer. And he was also, apparently, a very vivid dreamer. And this is what G.H. Lewis said that Dickens experienced one time. Dickens had this very vivid dream that he was in a room where everyone was dressed in scarlet. He stumbled against a lady who was standing with her back towards him in this dream. Now, he apologized. She turned her head and said, my name is Napier. Now, in the
dream. Dickens is going through all of this stuff in the dream. He didn't recognize the name Napier. And the face, he didn't recognize either. Now, 2 days later, before he was to give a reading, a lady friend was in his waiting room, accompanied by an unknown lady in a scarlet opera coat. The unknown woman, he was told by his friend, said, "She's determined she's going to meet you, so I brought her along to introduce you." So Dickens said jokingly, "Not Miss Napier." He was joking, because he had just had that dream earlier. His friend responded, "Yes, it is Miss Napier." Now, the face of the woman that Dickens saw in his dream was not the face of the actual Miss Napier. But he said the coincidence of the scarlet cloak and her name was too striking to ignore. Fascinating story, don't you think? Oh, I love these stories. I love stories of coincidences. I think that it's so amazing how synchronicity works in our life. And I'll share a story with you that happened to my husband. My husband is a singer, and he sings with a Ukrainian choir. Well, just this weekend, we were in a major store, and while we were in the store, he got himself a snack, and he was sitting down in the area where you are able to enjoy your food, and he was trying to determine where he wanted to sit prior to sitting down, and he sees this nice family, and so he asked them, "Can I join you?" And they said, "Sure, come on down." So it was a woman. She had 6 children with her, and he hears her talking to her children in a language, and he thought he recognized it. And he asked her, "What language are you speaking to your children?" And she said, "Ukrainian." He said, "That's amazing." So he starts telling her about the choir, the Ukrainian choir that he's singing with, and she starts telling him how she's lived in this country for 12 years, and she was deeply involved in music in a choir when she lived in the Ukraine. So they're talking about this mutual interest, and after I had finished doing what I needed to do at the store and I met him and we were on our way out, he said, "You're not going to believe what just happened to me." And he tells me this story about sitting down with this family, not knowing anything. They're perfect strangers to each other. And he said, "Here I find out that she's a Ukrainian. What are the odds of my sitting down impromptu at a table with someone who has a similar interest in music, but not only that, was very much involved in performing as a Ukrainian in her own country?" Synchronicity. Sometimes things happen that we could no more explain away than a man in the moon. So I just thought I'd share that little tidbit with you. And if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. I've got a story I'm going to want to share with you after we come back from the break about a little boy named Cody Green and a Marine. And it will really touch your heart. It's perfect for this time of the year because we're now in the month where we celebrate Thanksgiving. We celebrate the appreciation of life, where we are, what we're doing, and how we get things done. But I want to share something with you, too, here. And the story, as I came across it, was called Diamond in the Dirt. And again, this goes along with the synchronicity that I was talking about. Now, an event happened on October 2011 while a woman by the name of Lena, now she lives in Sweden, and she was tending her garden. And she was about to toss a bunch of carrots. So she was in her garden, as I said, and some of them weren't so good. And she was about to toss them into her compost heap. But something caught her eye. Beneath the leafy top of one deformed little carrot was her long-lost wedding ring. Now, the story about this is fascinating because we go back 16 years. That's right, 16 years ago. Now, apparently, Lena had removed her white gold diamond-encrusted wedding band to make some bread. She was kneading the dough. She went to put a ring back on, and it was gone. Now, she had three little girls at the time. Their ages were 10, 8, and 6, and she thought one of them had picked it up. But the girl said, "No, Mom, we didn't pick it up." So they looked all over the kitchen. She was frantic, couldn't find it. Well, this was heartbreaking for her because she had designed her wedding ring. And she said, "Oh, my goodness, I hope we can find it." Well, they renovated the kitchen. Nothing found. She said, "I never thought I would ever find it." Now, she never replaced the ring. Never bought herself a new one. 16 years later, on this little scrawny carrot in her garden, they find it. And the only thing they can think of is that somehow the ring got picked up and swept into a pile of chicken scraps and was spread over the garden as compost, where it stayed until a little carrot sprouted through the band. And she said, "Who would have ever thought I would have gotten my ring back 16 years later?" I love stories like that, don't you? Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. When we come back, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and Cody Green and the Honorary Marine. We'll be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Scientists are always exploring new ways of doing things. Mother Nature has a way of influencing our thinking, and it's not just scientists that Mother Nature has impressed. It has impressed musicians and artists, forever. But if you're a scientist and you're trying to find a better way of making something healthier, more effective in its application, you have to be willing to open up your mind to new options. Now, how do you do that? Well, part of it sometimes is just sitting still and being an observer. And that is what happened with a man by the name of Jeffrey Karp. Now, he's a professor at the Harvard Medical School. And he said, it's so important to be open to new ideas. And sometimes new ideas will come in the most unusual ways. And this one really caught my attention because it came about because of a gecko. Now, have you ever seen a gecko? If ever you visited the Hawaiian Islands, those delightful little creatures are all around you, and you never want to ever kill a gecko because that gecko will take care of bugs like you wouldn't believe. And they just are so quick. They're sort of disconcerting when you first become aware of them, and then they become a good bud. When you're living in Hawaii, you go, "Hi, gecko," and you're not unhappy if they're up on the ceiling or over your kitchen stove or anything else, because you know that they're there. They're harmless, and they take care of bugs, and they move with an incredible speed. Well, what is the one of the most unusual components about a gecko? It can go over anything. It can be on a ceiling. You wouldn't have a hope or a prayer being able to walk on a ceiling. I know Fred Astaire did it, but you're not going to be able to do it because you don't have the apparatus to do it. A gecko does. So the thought came to someone, how can we make a Band-Aid better? Now that seems inconsequential, doesn't it? But with a Band-Aid, do you know that there's an estimated 1.5 million injuries that happen because of medical adhesives? They want something that sticks to you, but when it's taken off, it sometimes can tear off skin, and it can cause more problems than not. It can rip stitches out. Well, Jeffrey said, this has been a major medical problem for years, especially with premature newborns and the elderly, because just yanking a bandage off can rip skin off. Their skin is very delicate. Well, this is what Jeffrey Karp discovered, and he said they now have invented a unique middle layer on a Band-Aid. The extra layer takes the brunt of the stress of removing the tape instead of the adhesive one that attaches to the skin. And what it does, and they've been working with this for a while, is pull away the bandage and it pops right off. All that's left is a small amount of residue that can be covered with baby powder or just simply rolled off of the skin. He learned this from the gecko. That's right. The gecko can move. The question was, how can a gecko go across surfaces and remove itself from those surfaces without leaving an imprint? What's going on here? And they designed a Band-Aid. The headlines came out in 2008. It mimics the microscopic scales on gecko feet. It allows bandages to hold fast in tricky areas, including the wet tissues of the heart and lung. But the sealant, they've even created something new. It's biodegradable, and it disintegrates over time. And unlike with the typical patterning that's been done in the past, with this new Band-Aid, doctors won't have to go back in to remove it. And they are really excited about this because it's going to make a whole world of difference for millions of people around the world. Fascinating. So if you think little things like a Band-Aid cannot be improved upon, Jeffrey Karp has really made us aware we can always up the ante in some way. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Cody Green is a little boy. Cody Green is a sick boy. Cody Green was diagnosed with leukemia before he was 2 years of age. And he went on, as he was growing up, to keep cancer at bay three different times. The rounds of chemotherapy that Cody went through left him very, very weak. He couldn't play. However, the spirit of Cody was quite profound. This little boy always was an inspiration to people around him. Now, he had a favorite football team, the New Orleans Saints. And there was something that started occurring around Cody. And his mom, his name is Tracy, was always amazed that he never, ever complained about his pain. He never whined. He never fussed. And there was a local group of Marines that heard about Cody. Now, one of the things that was very important to him was the Marines themselves. For some reason, in his young mind, as far back as anybody could remember, he wanted to be a Marine. Seems a little strange, doesn't it? But the Marines heard about this through the grapevine of someone talking to someone talking to someone. Now, these Marines got together, and they planned on coming to the hospital because they learned that Cody was quite sick. At this time, he was 12 years old. He needed a stem cell transplant. And Cody was told that this group of Marines were going to be coming in. He was thrilled. Well, Cody wasn't able to wait for them because he developed a very dangerous infection. The infection spread to Cody's brain, and he was dying. Well, the family obviously was devastated. They had come to the hospital to say their goodbye, and they let the Marines know that were planning on coming into the hospital to see Cody, that he wasn't going to make it. One Marine, he was an aerial navigator, Sergeant Mark Dolcini. He asked the family, he said, can I come in by myself? I know we can't come in as a group, but would you let me go in? And they did. This is what occurred. Cody was not aware that Sergeant Dolcini had come into his room, but he was dressed in full military dress. And he performed the ceremony of making Cody a Marine. He placed an American flag on Cody's bed, and then he tucked the Marine Navigator wing near the boy's pillow. And this is what he said to the parents. I'm giving him those wings to help him find his way. Well, the mother broke down in tears. She said, this young man did not even have to come in. He didn't know Cody. But he did know how important the Marines were to him. And he did this phenomenal act of compassion. Well, Sergeant Dolcini said he wanted to do even more for this young man who had shown so much bravery during his short life. He said, though he didn't get his dream of being able to be in the Marines, the Marines' motto is Semper Fidelis, always loyal. They could stand by him. It was 8 hours before Cody took his last breath. Sergeant Dolcini stood at attention outside the hospital room. He was Cody's honor guard. Tracy, Cody's mom, said it was the most difficult day of our lives. That having this young man stand outside of our room as an honor guard truly lifted my heart. The Marines were his heroes. They now were mine. Now, Sergeant Dolcini has stayed in touch with the family, and this is what he said. That if we all did something kind for someone, imagine what an incredible legacy that would be. For Cody Green, honorary Marine, and for the world. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent day, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless, and have an absolutely magnificent day, and join me tomorrow. Because we're going to find out what happens when we die. Are you interested? Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.